Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, today one of my favorite topics, because it's a big issue here in our community, it's called affordable housing. And we not only have one, not two, but we have three of our local heroes around the table who are working diligently on this. They're all involved in one way or another with the Affordable Housing Task Force, which, of course, has been a creation of, oh, that's right, she's got a new name now, Supermom. And we're talking about the one and the only Courtney Denton. Hi, Courtney, how are you?
I'm good, Manning. How are you?
I'm fine. So we're going to do the old introductions, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. Courtney Denton. I am married to Alex. We have three children. That's what Manning was referring to. We have added a third little boy to our family recently and are excited about that. I am on staff at Westminster Presbyterian Church, serving with local community engagement outreach, mercy ministry, as well as with the women there at the church. And I'm the founder of the Lifehouse Women's Shelter, and I guess more recently working in the space of affordable housing through the Housing Coalition.
And also one of the founding members of Pathways Community Center.
Yes, that's right.
Forget that. All
sorry,
right.
That is important. That's a big piece to all of this.
Big piece to all this. Yeah. All right, next up is Summersby. Summersby Oki, who is with Habitat. She's the Director of Development and Advocacy. I knew I'd get it right sooner or later. Go ahead, tell us about you.
Hi, yes, I'm Summersby Oki, as Manning said, Director of Development and Advocacy at Habitat for Humanity of York County. Obviously in the affordable housing space by creating opportunities for affordable home ownership and also preserving homes through home repair.
Okay, and last but not least,
hi.
Ben Miskelly. Ben's with a group called Elmington. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm Ben Miskelly. I'm the Director of Entitlements and Development at Elmington, used to be Elmington Capital Group. We're one of the nation's largest affordable housing builders.
And you got yourself roped into working with Courtney.
Don't know how, but I'm here. And currently my wife Janelle also works at the Lifehouse, so we're tied in it in multiple ways.
Common denominator. I got it. Okay. So let's bring everybody up to date if we can, Courtney, and talk a little bit about the Affordable Housing Task Force. You guys are been working, what, almost 2 years now?
Almost 2 years, that's right. Yeah, we've been kind of in this trench for the last couple of years of really two goals, to bring together those in our community who are working in the space of affordable housing. We want to synthesize our affordable housing efforts so that we're all on the same page. At least we understand what each page is doing and that we have understanding to how we can make a difference in our community around affordable housing. So have worked to bring about 15, 16 people around a table who are in this space, working in this lane, to think about affordable housing. And the second thing we really are focusing on is strategizing and how to make more affordable housing. But while we're doing that, we're also considering what creative housing solutions look like for our community. So this coalition is comprised of community-led individuals, stakeholders in our community representing residents of York County. We really believe it's important that we have the voices of our county on this coalition. Obviously, those of us who are in the space that are doing that and others who have a real heart for this. And the goal of the coalition has been to make housing happen. And the way that we're doing that is by educating, advocating, and mobilizing within our community. So we have developed a mission of the coalition. We have a website now that individuals can access called the housingyorkcounty.org website. And there's actually a recent survey that we've put together as we're wanting to gauge more of our community's thoughts around affordable housing. Affordable housing gets said a lot. So when you think about 2 years of kind of working in the space, one of the things that we've realized is that there's a lot of people who have different opinions and thoughts about what affordable housing is. So one of the things that we're really trying to lean into is, what does our community think about affordable housing, and how can we bring some education and advocacy even around that piece, in addition to recognizing the data metrics that show in our county we have a significant need for affordable housing. We have plenty of stats that help to drive that in terms of our goals.
So if you were to put a number on what we need in terms of affordable housing, I always remember Dwayne Alford from the Rock Hill Housing Authority. Sat right here, we're talking about that new 156-unit project right across from QT there at Heckle. And he said, that's just a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. It is nowhere near. Yeah. He says, we need multiples of that.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah. The number is a hard number to really pinpoint. What we do in a year's time is we are counting people that we know of that have need for housing. And those counts come through a point-in-time count in January that is a national count of those who are homeless. We get numbers from that count. We get numbers from the school district. McKinney-Vento is a measuring tool for students in the school district that are experiencing different degrees of homelessness. And then, of course, we understand, just based off of our service providers in the community, where there's need for affordable housing. It's hard to say for sure, but in a county like ours, based on the numbers that we have, we know that we have need of more than 2,000 units of affordable housing.
2,000 units. Okay.
I think an important thing is Courtney's mentioning folks that are currently experiencing homelessness, but another thought regarding that is the price of housing in general. So when we talk about affordability of housing, a housing is affordable when it's not more than 30% of someone's income. But when someone is making a minimum wage or well below the area median income, the ability to afford housing with a full-time wage becomes almost impossible. So we're not only talking about dealing with folks who, through a snowball, are experiencing homelessness, but also folks who are currently in a home and maybe their property value is going up, their rent is going up, they're no longer able to afford the home that they're in or the rental unit that they're in or any other home on the market. And so they get pushed towards homelessness, or they double up, or they're in some other less than desirable housing situation with nowhere else to go.
So you live in a community like Rock Hill, which is growing by leaps and bounds. We've got all this redevelopment going on around us. You can't stop the escalating value of what these properties are worth. So how do you possibly deal with the issue of somebody not having enough money tomorrow, even though they have enough money today? I mean, obviously education, get a better job, that kind of thing. But in some cases, you can't do that.
Right, sure. And I think that's why this becomes a community problem and not an individual problem, right? There are folks that are in our community that are seniors living on a fixed income that have had the same mortgage payment for their entire lives. And how can we have this education about increasing property taxes and preparing for that and helping each other and understanding why you might be able to negotiate that property tax or understand why it's going up and all the different things that you can educate someone to preserve that home, make sure they have a will in place, make sure they can hand it over to their children to preserve that asset for the future. And also understanding, you know, there's this idea that I don't want affordable housing in my backyard, or it's something that will negatively affect my own property values in the place where I live, but understanding that it goes beyond a personal problem of your own income and caring about each other in a larger sort of way.
Right, and to that point, it's a continuum of care. So you have, when we talk about affordable housing, the topic of homelessness comes up a lot. But it's also that person that's a police officer or a school teacher that's making around area median income. It's hard to find housing. And we found in this space, in this sector, I can go to a community and say, hey, I want to provide an affordable house next to your home. Immediately, it'll be shut down. No one wants affordable housing next to their home. But if I come in and I say, Mike, the police officer, and Sarah, the teacher, that are married and have two kids, want to build a house next to you, they'll be open with warm welcomes and cakes made for them, and it's a great neighbor. And it's getting people to see that that matters. That, yeah, affordable is a term we're all kind of terrified of because we have a negative stigma to it, but it doesn't mean that always.
Well, I mean, you can have very, very attractive affordable housing, as long as you have standards as to how that is to be maintained. I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, right here in Rock Hill, if you go to any of the units that are run by the Rock Hill Housing Authority, they look pretty doggone good. They really do.
Right. And what you'll see with affordable housing, and a lot of times it gets tied to apartment complexes, a lot of your issues with those properties are properties that are run down and they don't have any continuity of ownership. So they're selling owners every 5-6 years. A new group will buy it, do an acquisition and rehab slightly enough to just make enough money and get out. And so when you don't have that continuity of ownership, you don't have that continuity of kind of standard and care of what the property could look like. And that's when it tends to go downhill. And so what matters too is really thinking through the developers you're attracting to an area. Are they going to be developers that hold and maintain property, or are they going to be a developer that sells it in 5 years?
Good point. So if they're all local people, we won't have this problem. Is that right, Courtney? No, just teasing.
I think one thing I would just want to highlight as we think about a continuum of care, and both have already kind of spoken to this, is the fact that there's a stigma around who needs affordable housing. And oftentimes when we talk about homeless, inevitably people go to the thoughts of substance abuse, mental health, and generational poverty. And we kind of put ourselves in categories of thinking about the homeless in one of those three buckets, or sometimes all of those buckets. And I think we as a community have got to change the way we think about those who are unhoused, which is who we're talking about when we talk about this today, as individuals that we are going to the grocery store and passing, or maybe they're the cashier at the grocery store that we are paying for the groceries that we're buying. They are the tellers at the bank that we're getting money from. They're the educators in our school district. They're the police officers, as already been mentioned. They're in retail. They're in restaurants. They're the ones that are handing us the food. If we can start to think about people in a way that is different than the way we have often associated homeless individuals, then it changes the entire narrative and conversation around affordable housing. We're wanting to bring housing to our community that makes it accessible for people who have been housed, who no longer can afford housing, or who have been in a place where they're working a job they simply just can't afford to live here. The market values are going up. So I think that's a part of this narrative that we really want to bring education to and advocacy for, because without these folks working in our community, what is our community?
We don't have it, period. We don't have it. I'm sitting here, when you said that, I said, wouldn't it be a great marketing campaign if we were to roll out a police officer, a teacher, somebody who works in the restaurant business, whatever, and say, hi, my name is Susie Jones. I'm working 40, 50 hours a week, and I can't afford a place to live. I love Rock Hill, but I like to live here. I mean, that's what you're talking about, making people aware of what's going on.
Hey, guess what? That's our marketing campaign. That's what's about to roll out with the Housing Coalition, just that, because I think people don't think of those individuals as the ones that we're thinking about when we're talking about what we're trying to do, and that's what we've got to start changing. So you should come join the Housing Coalition.
I'll think about that, yeah. Let me know if there's a slot open. Yeah. All right, so you've got a survey out on the website. So Summersby, tell me what this survey is all about and how do we get onto it and make our thoughts known.
Sure. So I think surveys are important for two reasons. Number one is I think as the Housing Coalition and the members of it, it's not our job to decide what the community needs, right? We've looked at data, we understand, we've been in the space, we have lived experience, but ultimately I think it's our job as folks who are having the power to make some decisions to listen to people and understand what they need and what they want, not decide from the top and then trickle that down. And so I think it's really helpful to lead out an initiative like this by listening to the community first. And that's exactly what this survey is for. It gives folks an opportunity to weigh in on what they think the county's biggest needs in our community are in regards to housing. And it also arms us with data to be able to go to folks like investors or legislators or city council or county council and say, hey, look, 50%, I'm making these numbers up because the survey hasn't gone out yet, but whatever percentage of people believe that affordable housing is a is a key issue in York County and something that we need to tackle. So if you're running for office, if you're up for re-election this year,
and by the way,
that could happen, then this is something that you need to worry about, because this is what your constituents are concerned about. If you're, you know, in a church and you're wanting to serve your community, this is a great way to understand what your community needs. And so we're really asking folks to tell us what affordable housing means to them. What would it look like? Would you be open to having the development of affordable housing in your neighborhood, right? And also understanding who is answering these questions. So what is their income? You know, what is their race? What is their general area of the county? To get a picture from the different areas and different representation of the county, what affordable housing looks like, to help us understand where we need to be and what we need to do in order to not only create affordable housing, but also to have that resident-led asset-based model of also highlighting what we already have and creating a community that people who are already here want.
I would think that this survey is going to tell everybody a lot about who we are as a community. We'll either find out that we don't give a damn, or we'll find out, hey, why aren't we tackling this thing? That'll be very, very interesting data. Very interesting data. And I'll tell you what we're going to do after we take our mid-program break. We're going to come back and talk about what the launch is from this Affordable Housing Task Force, because they've been busy, busy, busy. Letting me remind you now that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxing with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Guess what? Good Pharmacy is with us as well, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So what the heck we do here at Substation 2? Even the good dentist over here, Dr. Brad, knows we do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week, from 10 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. How we do it? Hey, wake up that utilities director over there. Here we go. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. We're going to have to break him in back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks from anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you'd think, with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporia, always ready.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We're talking about the work of the Affordable Housing Task Force. Have with us Courtney Denton, who's with Lifehouse Women's Shelter and also the creator of the task force. Summers Bioki, who's a member of it. She is the Development and Advocacy Director at Habitat. Boy, I did that great. Yeah. And Ben Miskelly, who's with Elmington, which is all about affordable housing all over the country. Okay. Now, we told everybody we need you to get on this survey. Let's chime up again the website and where to go get this thing, Courtney.
Yeah, we have a website. The Housing Coalition of our county has a website. It's housingyorkcounty.org. Housingyorkcounty.org. We want you to remember it and tell other people about it. And when you go to the homepage, there is a link to take the survey. And we're inviting you. The link is live. We are inviting you to take the survey. We're inviting you to share the survey. We want to hear from as many people in our community as we can on this topic, because as Summersby said so well, it is important that what we are doing is based on what our community feels and needs and wants around this issue. This is not something that we want to do without the community leading us through their thoughts of how and what this means for them.
Yeah, and we need more than a couple of dozen people to respond to this. We
hundreds,
need thousands.
Thousands, exactly.
We need thousands of people, because that's what drives the elected officials to help out where they can help out, and that's what drives the financial institutions to do what we need to have done. Okay, so now we're ready, after 2 years of work, good for y'all, to announce, I guess, a pilot project that we're kicking off here. And I guess that falls in your realm here, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get the wonderful ability to give a pilot project and not give a lot of details about it because we're still working through it. But as a coalition, we know the survey is super important. And just as a reminder, you should go to housingyorkcounty.org and fill it out.
Say that again.
Housingyorkcounty.org.
Housingyorkcounty.org. Okay, go ahead.
So after you fill that survey out, we need to make this real. And that's kind of where we're at now. We have been blessed with some abilities to talk through some grants, to talk through some private investors, and talk through some funding strategies to potentially get kicked off on a pilot project. What we really love about this project is it's a continuum project, so it would provide affordable housing, which is a rental apartment somewhere in York County, that would be leveraged to then also provide the ability to provide some shelter beds and some program-based beds for some of our service providers. And so what we're trying to do is to attack this from multiple lanes, so we can help, first of all, just the families that are struggling with finding a place to live. Prevent them from ever going into this unhoused conversation. So if we can start to provide that on the front end and then help to alleviate some of the pressure we're seeing on the back end with service providers, we feel like this project could do that.
Okay, so let me see if I can nibble away some details from you. How big would this thing be? I mean, are we talking about 50 apartments, 100 apartments? What are we talking about?
The goal at the moment is somewhere around 200 to 250 rental apartments. Those would be based on an AMI level. AMI stands for area median income, which our area median income is right around $50,000. Depends on where you get that number from. So,
yeah, well, let's just stop right there. Because that AMI thing is what's killing a lot of people,
right?
Because we're lumped in with Charlotte up here.
Correct.
And they make a good bit more money than we do.
So our biggest problem we have as a county, it's twofold. Not to burn any bridges, South Carolina housing is really hard to get tax credit apartments. It's just the way the state's structured with their financing mechanisms. But on top of that, you have higher rents driven by the Charlotte market. So we're in the Charlotte MSA, so our rents always come down the pipeline of what's being done in Charlotte. Obviously, in Rock Hill, Fort Mill, York County, we're a little less than that, but it's still higher than the rural areas around us. But then we also have the AMI, and average median income is driven by the state. So those tend to be lower than those median incomes in Charlotte.
Okay. So these apartments, I guess, are they going to be a variety of like 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms?
Right. So typically the way this model would work, it would mostly be 2s, 3s, and even 4 bedroom units. There will be some 1 bedroom units in it. Obviously, we haven't gotten into full design yet. But with those, we're hoping that can get the full range of people, from single individuals just looking for a place to live to maybe a family that's struggling and needs a 4-bedroom unit.
So the price point on something like this?
Price point is going to be driven by that income. So we don't really have any full rent numbers yet.
Okay. All right. So to do this, you're going to need a place to do it. And you got that old NIMBY thing out there, not in my backyard. So you must have found a backyard somewhere that would work, make this work.
Yeah, we found a backyard that everybody's okay with, nobody's going to have a problem with, because they're all going to go do the survey at housingyorkcounty.org and tell us that they need it.
You should have been a politician because you're not answering the question.
I'm not answering that question. So, but the beauty of it is, if we can pull off this affordable housing complex, if we can pull off building the 200 to 250 units, there's the ability for the developer to be incentivized to provide a shelter space.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of our goal here, is if we can attack the rent generating apartments, even though it is affordable level, some of that money can be leveraged back to provide what we see as a major opportunity for our service providers, and providing around a 50-bed shelter. And I can say that is in and around Rock Hill. We'll narrow it down a little bit for you.
Isn't that kind of you to narrow that down for me? All right, I won't poke at that anymore. I got some ideas as to where that would come from. But suffice it to say that this project, and I guess, Courtney, you'd be the one to kind of answer this question. If it comes to be, which I'm sure it will, because you all are involved with it, is it going to be a project where you're going to have kind of wraparound services to help out all of these apartment dwellers and people in the shelters to try to get them where they need to be?
Yeah, I think when you think about housing in our county, you think about it on a continuum. And so when you consider a housing continuum, you have people who are coming in oftentimes in a shelter to receive direct services that are going to help to renew them, rehab them, help to ensure that they have access to referral and resources that they need, which can be a myriad of different things. And ultimately, in that process, you're working to help ready them to be able to make a transition into housing. And in some cases, they may need a longer runway, so there may be a transitional housing opportunity. But in a lot of cases, they just need something that they can afford. And so you don't even necessarily need transitional housing. You need permanent housing that is affordable, hence all of the conversation we've had today. We have plenty of people that we're helping in our community that are independent, who are able to live on their own, and who do not need supportive services. And we want to have a place that's ready for them. In cases where they may need more wraparound services in these transitions, we want to offer that as well. So you look at housing through a lens of continuum, and you see it in the fact that there's a lot of different people who have need of it, and those individuals who have need of it have different degrees of need, and so we want to meet them where they are. There are people that we serve in shelter stays that do not need a shelter. They need an affordable house. But better that they're in a shelter than being in their car or under an abandoned building or an awning. And so they come into the shelter, but you know right away that they don't need a lot of service provision. They just need something they can afford. And so more and more of that we're seeing. You have plenty of people who can live independently. They just don't have a place that they can do that. So the answer is yes to your question. It just, the supportive services look different depending on what the needs are.
Gotcha.
And we see more and more, 80% of people who are unhoused in this community aren't needing excessive amounts of services. They need houses that they can afford.
As evidenced by the teachers who are living at the Life House. Okay, so how far along are we? Is this just talk right now, or do we have actually some kind of a timetable on all of this? I mean, what are we talking about here, Ben?
So I get to dodge more questions. It's a little more than talk. We have an initial stage of some plans and drawings that we've been talking to the stakeholders involved with it. We have a couple local churches that have partnered with us to kind of help out with this process. We are in the process now of starting to actually identify a target and elicit funds. So there's actually movement on this. We love this because it allows us to partner with the Housing Coalition to provide a hard project that will become a thing versus just kind of working through what we've been doing the last 2 years.
Well, I could spend all afternoon talking about sources of revenue and what have you, but it's going to be a little bit of everything, I gather, to make this thing work. And a lot of prayer and a lot of hope and a lot of willingness of the community, which brings us back to that survey. You got to go online to housingyourcounty.org, housingyourcounty.org. Let's all say that together. 1, 2, 3,
housingyourcounty.org.
Okay, and fill out the survey, because that's going to be the meat and potatoes to keep moving this project on. Thank you all for what you're doing. Courtney, Summersby, Ben, you guys are the greatest. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax you with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, Buster has arrived. The group is here. The brand new utilities director is over here, and we're going to get him involved here. All right, David Behan, turn around. Here we go now. Fresh subs and salads. We do this 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters at the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Not bad, not bad. Back after, back at tomorrow. Bye.